wasn't actually on the order of service. And Christopher and Matthew George are going to come and read to us from God's Word, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and 1 Peter, chapter 4. Thank you.
On our first reading, is from Mark chapter 8, commencing at verse 34. Then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. If anyone wants to come with me, he told them, he must forget himself, carry his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers over many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each one as a good manager of God's different gifts must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. Whoever preaches must preach God's messages. Whoever serves must serve with the strength that God gives him, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Many years ago, the young boy Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Lord, we gather around your word this morning as a listening people. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. My theme is very simple. God wants us to serve him. My text is taken from 1 Peter 4:11. Each one as a good manager of God's different gifts must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. And my sermon, although it contains 5 points, is very short. I want to make 5 simple statements. 1, everybody is special. Everybody is a genius, said Albert Einstein. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. In other words, we are all special, but we are special in different ways. Now, many parts of the world, there are associations for gifted children, as if some children are more gifted than others. True, some may be more gifted academically, but others might know how to put in a light bulb, and things of that nature too. And that is precisely what Peter says in our text. Each one of you has a special gift from God. Everybody is special. Secondly, everybody is different. We can be gifted in different ways. Listen again to Peter. He speaks of God's different gifts. Literally, he speaks of God's multicolored gifts. And you know, I believe that when God looks down upon us, he sees a human equivalent of Bassett's licorice all sorts. All different shapes and sizes, and all different colors too. And don't worry that you don't have the gifts and abilities of the person next to you. The fact is that they don't have your gifts and abilities. 3, everybody has a special role in life. Yes, each one of us, says Peter, is to be a good manager of God's different gifts. And God has been amazingly creative in making you and me the kind of people that we are. And he expects us to be equally creative in the ways in which we serve him and others. You see, God has not just made us. God has designs for us. And the question we need to be asking ourselves this morning is this: are we fulfilling God's purpose for our lives? Are we being good stewards, good managers of the gifts he's given us? Fourthly, we're almost at the end. God has a special role for young and old. Yes, this morning I want to single out two groups in our church who perhaps need to hear that they have a special role. Group number one, young people. If you are a young person, let me say to you that God has a special role for you. You don't have to be 21. You don't even have to be 18 or indeed 60 to serve God in this church. Almost certainly, when Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he chose young people. Or perhaps they were young adults. And I believe that God would have me encourage the young in this church to say to you, you are as important and as gifted as anybody else. And I also want to say to those of you who are older that God has a special role for you. You may not have the energy you once had, but that doesn't mean an end to your Christian service. Let me remind you of Caleb, who at the age of 80 said, "Give me this mountain." Caleb was ambitious to serve God. And my friends, if you're in your 80s, or indeed older perhaps, I believe it's right still to be ambitious to serve God. You know, the other day I had to restrain a person in this church who is in their 80s, who wanted to stand up in church and challenge her contemporaries to win people for Christ. Thank God she didn't stand up, the service would have gone on. But you know, I have a great book on my shelves entitled, "I Never Found That Rocking Chair, God's Call to Retirement." Fifthly, God has given each of us a special shape. Now, Rick Warren, who pastors a large Baptist church in California, once said, "Whenever God gives us an assignment, he always equips us for what we need to accomplish it. This tailor-made combination of capabilities is called your shape." And some of you may know shape as a mnemonic, and it stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, experience. And Rick Warren says that each one of us needs to do five things: unwrap our spiritual gifts, listen to our heart, apply our abilities, use our personality, employ our experience. In other words, God does not want us to serve him out of duty. Rather, he wants us to serve him because we have a passion to serve others, and because God has given us a heart and experience to do so. You know, in a very real sense, Christian service is about self-fulfillment. We are doing that for which God has made us. I find that an enormously helpful approach. Gifts and abilities are to be linked with passion and experience. And only then do we look for opportunities for service. Now, that is the context for today's ministry fair. As I said earlier on, we are presenting opportunities for service. We are not wanting you to volunteer for everything that is going. This service is a disaster if you volunteer even for 50% of what is on offer. We are looking for you to do the one thing, perhaps, that God has given you a passion to do. Yes, look for opportunities where you can be happy and fulfilled in serving God. True, it may involve getting hands dirty. It may involve sweat. It may at times involve heartache. But where is the place where God can use you, where you, in effect, can be you? And I'm not about to announce the next hymn, because for the next little while, I want you to get up out of your seats. I sound like Billy Graham, don't I? But not come to the front, but go to the places round about where, all being well, there should be a person who will speak to you about whatever is on his or her heart. For instance, I have a passion to see people outside this church 30 minutes before each service, come rain, come shine. I've mentioned this before, but nobody has ever stepped up. Don't you have a passion? Isn't there somewhere here who's got a passion for opening a car door, for smiling at a lady? We might even present you with your own special umbrella, not just a pen. Well, I mustn't go on about what's on my heart. Others will go on about what's on their heart. And if for any reason you've come to church and not seen one of those, I particularly have people who are new to our church, please come up here and grab one, and then you can see what we're on about. I will then call you back, and then we will sing our closing hymn and have a benediction. Please, please, do not go downstairs. And if you really feel that you cannot look at anything, well, shut your eyes and pray for those of us who are talking. Okay, let's be noisy, let's talk, let's explore, let's see what might be possible. Okay, folks, can I encourage you to take your seats? I could do with a megaphone. Hello, hello. You are allowed to speak after the service. Right. Now, I'm very conscious that conversations are still ongoing, and I no doubt will be ticked off by some who will say, why did you bring it to an end? But I'm conscious that for others, perhaps your mind is elsewhere now. Can I encourage you, if you have not got hold of one of these books, to get hold of them? They are very well written. They were emailed out. If you've not received your copy and you're on email, we'll resend it. But if you're not on email or you just want a hard copy at any rate, would you speak to either Sue Perrott or myself, and we will make sure that there is a copy for you. I prefer not to send it to you by post because that's 60p. So if you say you want a hard copy, we will put it in the pigeonhole for you to pick up during the week or on Sunday. But a careful reading through of this could well point you in the right direction. Indeed, it might even point you in God's direction. Let's have a prayer. Father God, help us to reflect on what we have heard. Give us wisdom that we might know how best